Well, friends, before we spend some time thinking on God's word, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the great opportunity it is to be able to sit here in comfort with friends and to hear your word. In hearing your word, we hear your very self. So, Lord, please may that word mingle with your spirit in our hearts and so change us to be more like Jesus, your Son. Amen. Well, friends, it's a great day, isn't it? Lady Day, the day of the Annunciation to Mary, the declaration that Jesus was to be born by her, through her. A day for us to be thinking, well, what does that mean for us? Or how do we go about living our lives? As I was reading through this passage from Luke that Linda read for us this morning, I was just struck by, well, two P words. Preparation, because as close as I've gotten to childbirth, which is, I'm glad it's no closer, it seems to be a lot of preparation that goes on. But the other word that keeps hitting me was perplexity. The translation that Linda read for us uses a different word, but the one that I was reading this morning says that Mary was perplexed. And as close as I've gotten to childbirth, it seems that along with preparation also comes a fair degree of perplexity. And it doesn't really matter how experienced you are at this. I've gotten Rachel's permission to tell a couple of stories. Our children were born in three different hospitals, two different cities. First was in King Edward Memorial Hospital in Subiaco, or Shenton Park in Perth. That was James. Now, that came with all of the excitement that comes with being new parents and all of the overthinking of what's going to happen. Do you remember that? You thought you're just sure that stuff would happen straight away. And then as it drags on and through the night and the next day, you discover that maybe you're a bit ahead of yourself. Our next child was born in the old Geraldton Hospital. And that's Carers. And one of the things about the old Geraldton Hospital was that it had a tall set of stairs. None of these newfangled places with lifts that go everywhere. This had a very tall set of stairs. And we were much more phlegmatic about Caris's arrival, knew that making moves too soon would just be a recipe for having to wait. So incredible Rach came and helped with youth group and night church and all the while. But as the night wore on, Rach took the record for the number of ascents and descents. Yes, it was. You were top of the list, I think. The number of times going up and down trying to bring it on. Preparation. Now, Geraldton Hospital was then demolished and a new one, well, substantially demolished, a new one built around it. Now, next three children were born in the new Geraldton Hospital. I won't go through any more stories other than when we visited that hospital when Rach was pregnant with our fourth, to discover that the sonographer switched on the machine and said, switched it off, and to Rach, "Have you got a history of twins in your family?" Now, at that point, I twigged. Now, Rach had been there and done that, and just assumed it was another question. No? Well, now you have. I think part and parcel of, well, being with child and then progressing through parenthood is that funny mix between preparation and perplexity. In many ways, that's actually not dissimilar to life in general, is it? That on one hand, we're called to be prepared, but on the other hand, we're continually being thrown curveballs, being put into situations for which we have no template or for which we have no previous experience. How do we deal with this? And as we work through the passage from Luke, that story of the angel coming and speaking God's words to Mary, not only do we get to experience some of Mary's own perplexity, but we discover through her response the way to deal with uncertainty in life. We began with a bit of an enigmatic little phrase, in the 6 months. Now, automatically, we need to be asking ourselves, 6 months of what? And this is where we need to begin, because Mary's story actually begins partway through a much larger story, because the angel came to Mary in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, the Dean is not pregnant. This is Elizabeth's cousin. This is Elizabeth's cousin, who you'll remember was also having an impossible baby. Different reasons, but a child she never thought that she would be able to bear. And she was 6 months gone, just through the second trimester. But that was part of an even larger story, wasn't it? The reason that Elizabeth was having this impossible child was because there was one who would be the herald to God's new work. And friends, this is where we need to begin, just as Mary began her story, realising that there is a much larger plan in place, God's big plan, which wasn't plan B or plan C or fixing up things that hadn't gone right, but rather it was the only and always plan. So Mary was enfolded in that plan, just as Elizabeth was. And friends, you and I are invited to be enfolded in that plan. That plan that began way before the angel turned up to Mary. But as we move through the story, we discover that being caught up in that plan, that always and forever plan, came, well, with perplexity. Suddenly Mary was caught in the middle of perplexing events. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Now, if ever there was understatement in Scripture, this has to be it, doesn't it? Mary here was caught up in a whirlwind, wasn't she? You can imagine just being going about your own business with no prior warning. Have you ever had that experience? Going about your own business with no prior warning and being caught up in an experience over which you had no control. Why is it perplexing then? Because if we read this story quickly, you think, wow, what an incredible thing to be part of. Surely that would be a good thing. But actually, we as people are hardwired to want dependability, aren't we? Even those of us who like a bit of change, who can drop what we're doing at a moment and head off on a new adventure, as human beings, we're actually wired to seek out dependability, wired for security, wired to find things that work in a dependable way. And so, irrespective of the news that was brought, Mary was going to be faced with the same situation that we're faced when thrown a curveball or when hit with a whirlwind. Now, it's interesting that the angel's message was rather, well, oblique, wasn't it? You and I know the story. We know what happened. But did you hear the way the angel introduced himself? "Greetings, favoured one. The Lord is with you." Now, friends, part of the challenge of living a Christian life is interpreting what God is up to. And if God does have a big plan that doesn't change, an only and always plan, sometimes we sit in the same place that Mary did when simply being confronted with God raises the question, what am I doing in relationship to God? And so we move to the third part of Mary's story, and that is the impossibility of what she was called upon to do. And so we see down in verse 34, when told what would happen, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you." And then down in verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." See, Mary was in the situation where her age, remembering she was probably a young teenager at the time, her status, she wasn't married. This flung her into a highly vulnerable position. And her biology, well, she knew how these things are supposed to happen, and she hadn't done it. All of those things were against her, weren't they? How vulnerable could she be to be suddenly confronted with God, who is intent on doing his work? How can this be? It's impossible. And friends, that's the point. That is the point, because only God can do what is impossible. And that makes sense then of what God was doing with Mary. So that long middle section of the passage that talks about this child who would be born, given the name of Jesus, who will save his people from their sins, who would sit on the throne of David, the greatest king of Israel, who would reign over the house of Jacob, in other words, the house of God's people forever. Well, here is the one who goes to the heart of what is impossible for us. As friends, we are clever people. We are strong people. We're ingenious in what we do and manage to create so many good things. But redeeming ourselves from separation from God and healing the fracture, the line that tears our world apart, is something that we cannot do. And so that is why this impossible thing needed to be initiated by God and happen out of the blue. And friends, it happened, didn't it, through that son that Mary bore. Now, Mary knew that all she added was yes. And that's the point. Because only God can do what is impossible. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Because the remarkable thing is that God invested in Mary. God chose Mary to participate in that impossible plan. And so, friends, that's where I want to conclude today. What we can learn from Mary's response. So usually in response to perplexity, we either resist what needs to be done, or we explain away what might need to happen. But Mary did three things. She was available. Here I am. In spite of her age and her status and her biology, here I am. She was accountable. Your servant. I will not stand on my high horse and put my own plans before yours. I'll be accountable to your plan. And then I couldn't think of another A word, so maybe you'll have to do that yourself. After being available and accountable, she said, "Let it be with me according to your word." Acquiesce is too passive a word. She grasped it with both hands. She said, Lord, I am available. I'll be accountable to you. So let it be with me according to your message. And friends, that's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for the whole diocese. It's actually my prayer for all of God's people everywhere. That we, like Mary, even in the most perplexing of situations, would grasp hold of God's plan and say, here I am, your servant. Let it be with me according to your word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, in Mary we see someone who responded to you in exactly the right way. Lord, only you can do what is impossible. But thank you for involving Mary in that. May we learn from her example of being available and accountable to you, and then grasping hold of the opportunity to partner with you in that work. In our lives, with the different things that we do, even when they become perplexing, may we be available, accountable, and grasp hold of your invitation to follow on after you. Amen.